Now, we've been studying Basa B'chalav in the 8th parak of Chul. There are a lot of, shall I say, expansions in the poskim, in the Shulchan Aruch, within the broader context of Basa B'chalav. Like, for example, one issue in the broader subject of Hilchus Basa B'chalav is going to be a kli, a vessel that was used for both basar and chalav, let's say subsequently. So now what the keli has is a blia of basar b'chalav. If I were to go ahead and cook heter in this kli, I would have to apply the principle of bittul and see if there is a possibility of bittul, which in general is not so easy in keli. But are there any other isurim that are going to apply to this kli, this kedera, other than cooking in the kedera? Meaning, could I use this kedera, which is now al-pidin treif, it has the tam of both basa b'chalav, can I use it for storage purposes? Can I put into this kli my... Again, there's no bishul here, so we're talking about my dry potatoes or my dry cherries, and just put them down in the kli. So that issue depends on what's called hadacha. Hadacha means that if you have a surface level blia, only surface level, the outside of something came in contact with the davar asur and it, so to speak, ingested the tam of that davar asur only on the outside, that's when you need hadacha. As opposed to, let's say, if you cooked it, then you would need either to throw it out or you'd have to apply bittul if there's shishim. But what we want to know now is if there was no bishul, you're just using it for storage purposes, are you allowed to place your food into a tray for pot? Will it be a blia? What kind of blia? Again, there's no heat over here. It could only be a blia of hadacha. A blia that will require me to rinse off something. So if I were to tell you that if I had a kedera that was used for basa b'chalav, that if I were to put, let's say, what would be a good example of something that's lach? What example could I give? He's putting into the keli. Let's say he's got some sort of a wet cholent or something. You know, there are two types of cholents. I don't know. I personally prefer dry cholent. But let's say he has a wet cholent. So he's got basar. But he also has a lach. Lach means a liquid. It's not totally yavish, as opposed to a dried potato, which is totally yavish. Now, in this distinction between lach and yavish, we're going to say the following: that if you put yavish, something that's cold and dry, down into a on top of or inside a treifa pot, you don't need a hadach in that case. Why? Because the pot is clean, the pot is cold, and he's putting a dry potato, which is also cold, into this pot. But he hasn't turned on the fire. They just take out the potato and eat it. Shalom al Yisrael. You don't even need to remove a surface level blia, which is called hadacha. But if on the other end the food is partially lach, so here the halacha gets very tough. and is not going to allow you to put it into this kedera, even though everything is cold, because in a davar lach you need what's called hadach. So if you have meat that is not solid, you know, from the freezer, because if it was solid from the freezer, it would be called yavesh. But you have some meat that cooked up. There's liquid, there's gravy, everything is tzimished, everything is combined, so that when you pick up this piece of potato now, it's got wetness to it. Or when you pick out a piece of meat from this soupy chulent, then that piece of meat is called lach. Now, with regard to lach, if lach goes into a kedera asura, even though everything is cold, you will require hadacha. So let's see what the Torah says in the name of Al Itu. Kol midi deboy hadacha kigon basar heter tzonen hanitan bekara shel iser tzonen is also lechatchilo liten echad b'toch hasheni. You're not allowed to place one inside the other. That means basar heter inside a kara shel iser. Why? Because dilma achil below adacha. So whenever you need adacha, you're not allowed to artificially set up a situation where you'll need adacha, and then you'll declare, well, I did adacha. No. That's not so. What we need is to avoid any situation where you would need adacha. Don't put yourself into a situation where you will require adacha. Now, when will you require adacha? It depends. What are you putting down in this kli? If you're putting a davar yavesh mamish, it's totally dry, it's a dried potato, then you don't require adacha. But once you add liquid into the equation, a davar lach, in such a case, you would need hadacha. Now again, be careful here. You can't do hadacha on liquids, but we're talking about a solid that has wetness to it.
So the hadacha is on the solid part. You don't peel off
right
from the solid
part. Right. Not peel off, rinse off. Because peel off already comes under a different halach called kedei netila, which right, maybe we'll get a chance to talk about later.
So the lach is going to get swept away along with something else that's on the surface of the meat, I say.
Right. And how did that surface emerge? In other words, why does this piece of meat have that surface, you know, like a vapor, like a sweat that we have to get clean off through adacha? Because you placed it down into a kedera that had both basar and chol. In other words, initially. So the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Sadi Aleph codifies this halacha of hadacha and not to put it down deliberately in a place where you'll need hadacha. Maybe you won't do hadacha. And the Shulchan Aruch doesn't seem to distinguish between lach and yavesh. That's where the Ramah adds his comment. And he writes, Dafka davar sheyesh bo lachluchis ktsas, aval davar yavesh mamish. Okay, there's a girsa problem. How to read the Hagos Ramah. I'm going to read to you from the Taz. The Taz has an upgraded version of the Ramah. And he says, Aval davar yavesh mamish, o im lo bola kli rak bitzonen, mutal adiach bo davar lach b'lo adocha. So there's the dry piece of chicken that you want to put down on this surface, this plate. And then you have a lach situation where you're allowed to put lach into this kli because the original bli of the kli was bitzonen. Let me say to you the flip side. Under what conditions would it be asur because of the requirement of adacha? And you would have to check off two squares. Number one, it would have to be that the kli itself was bolea b'isur. And number two, it would have to be a double lach. Just 1 second. Correct, it would have to be a double lach. So just to summarize the Ramah, the way that the Taz formulates the Ramah, it comes out like this. Under what circumstance are you allowed to lay things down on a plate that has a blia of Iser in it? It's a trefa plate. 1 second. Well, let me say it the other way around. Under what conditions would it be asur to put something cold into a cold pot that was used for both basar and chol? So you need two conditions. Number one, it's only asur if it's a double lach, meaning it has some lach luchis. And number two, it's only asur if that kedera itself was used for cooking basar b'chol. Because if you put basar b'chol inside a kli, but if everything was cold, then there's no bleeding. Now, Rav Salvechik also quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam also says that a double lach you're not allowed to put down in this kli. Let's read Rabbeinu Tam's language. This is in Masechta Avodah Zarah. Kideros habluos mi bas b'chol edeshin is bashel b'hem, meaning he cooked bas b'chol in a kidera. Mutal lahasim v'tochan davar lach kigon tfua. And fast forwarding to the end of his statement, avol davar lach lo. Davar yavesh is allowed, but not a davar lach. So again, if two conditions were met, number one, the kidera had a bliya bas b'chol through bishel, and number two, you're putting down a davar sheish b'lach luchis, then it's awesome. But if it's a kli that was never cooked basar b'chol, it was only used b'tzonei, or alternatively, if you're putting into the kli a davar yavesh, even if you do have a full-fledged, full-blasted bliya in the kli of basar b'chol, since it's a davar that's yavesh legamrei, it's mutter. So we have, just to summarize, both the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramah as like one kav, one shita, are saying that if you have a kli that has a real bona fide blia of isumeti, you can't put down a cold, semi-dry, semi-wet foodstuff. That Ramah is based on Rabbeinu Tam, because Rabbeinu Tam says that although you're allowed to put something down in a kli, even though the kli is a kli iser, but that's only a davar yomish, but not a davar lach. So we have both the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramah who are prohibiting putting a davar sheish bo lachus into a kli that has a full-fledged bishul and blia of a tam iser. Now, let me ask you the following question. Let's talk about the kli. The kli itself was used to cook basar b'chol. What does it look like now when he wants to put his potato down or his meat or whatever he wants to put down? What does that kli look like? With your eyes, what do you see inside of it? You see anything inside of it? No, you don't see anything. Because if you see inside of it basar b'chol, be'en, you know, people, then for sure you can't put anything in the kli, because we never allow an igiyah of isa v'heter, of heter b'isa together. The teretz is that we're talking about a kli that's completely clean. Hence, if you put down a dry potato, it's not going to be bolea because there's nothing to be bolea. The kli itself is clean. There's no bas b'chalv in the kli. Now he wants to use the kli. It's a clean kli and it's tzone. What is the problem here with the davar sheyesh bo lachluchos? There's no blia without some sort of hot cooking going on. Let's see inside. Hine, you see in the bottom right. Hine zeh barad lo mayri rabbeinu tam v'ramo elehecha shehudchu hakederos v'karos. Do you know what hudchu means? They were clean. You ran it through the dishwasher. You see that? Einam poltim bliyasam mitzonim. We're worried about the kli that has a bliya of bas mecholof, and it's going to be polate that bliya into your dover yovish yesh bo lachluchus, right? How is it going to be polate? Through what medium? You can't just look at a kli and say, well, the kli is spitting forth its tam bolua. That's not so. You need an agency. The cooking of the agent is the agency that brings it back. Now we're talking about tzone. Everything's cold. So why should it be awesome to put anything into this keli? The nira lefaresh sheheim sofer shel olam yesh pleitas mashu af betzone. And again, this is like, for me, this is like fira, you know. Like, how can you talk about a blia and a pleita in a case of tzonin? I mean, that just undermines everything we know. But the answer is that in a case of tzonin, the pleita is going to be only a mashu. We high time a kli isu shenishtamish bo chamin, also lishtamish bo dovelach afilu bitzoni. The afagav the ein tam bepleitas mashu kidei lechol lesser lechol as a machol. Mikomakom ha ein mevatlin isu lechat chila. Now he throws a whole other element into the equation here, of ein mevatlin isu lechat chila. In other words, a tam of a mashu is not enough to generate an iser in the machal through blias tzonin. But nevertheless, it would generate a chiyuv hadocha. So you can't use this kli in a way that would require hadocha. And why does it require adocha? Because there's a pleitas mashu af bitzone. The afagav the ein tam the pleitas mashu kdei lesar samachal bikomakom ha ein mevatlin isu lechatchila. I'm just not sure. Do you really need ein mevatlin isu lechatchila? I mean, the Gemara says we're afraid he won't do adocha. The Rav is asking, so what's the tragedy if he doesn't do adocho? You're talking about a plate of a mashahu. What does he mean, ein mevatlin isul chatchil? This is a little bit confusing to me. The machol. In other words, if blias tzonen is poletes of mashu, and that mashu now goes into your food, even though everything's cold, that's the pella here, this revolution. But immediately we're going to apply the principle of bittul, because we know up front that the amount of blia that can be taken out bitsone is a very minimal Blia. That's what we call a Masha. So now what happens? Because of this Masha, we require Hadacha. Why do you need Hadacha if it's Bata? If it's a Mashahu, if it's only a Mashahu, do I have to worry about Hadacha? I have to worry about Hadacha here in this case? So the answer is, we don't want to allow you, L'chadchila, to eat something that has even the most minimum Tam or Iser in it. Even if that Tam is only a Mashahu, we don't want you to eat that. So what do? We require Hadacha, and Hadacha is going to get rid of that Tam Mashu. So I would say, if the Hadacha is a requirement to get rid of the Tam Mashu, then hence we have the principle of the Tur in the name of the Itur, that you're not allowed to put it in a situation where you require Hadacha. Again, why do you require Hadacha? Because of the Tam Mashu. Is a plate of a Tam Mashu, we need Hadacha. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, why are we requiring Hadacha? And now if you ask me, why am I not allowed to put the piece of meat that has Lachlukas into this Kedera when everything is cold? It's because I would require Hadacha. So we don't want to allow you to do that, to place yourself into a situation where you will require Hadacha. Okay, what does that have to do with Eim Vatlan Isil Chatchila? Just one second. Can anybody help me with that? I just don't get it. The Rav is going to build a whole structure around Eim Vatlan Isil Chatchila. Who needs Eim Vatlan Isil Chatchila? The reason why you can't do this is because you'll end up eating a tam on Bas Mechal. Although I admit it's a Tam Mashu, but we don't want that. I mean, otherwise, if you're not going to agree with me, then why are we requiring Hadach? Obviously, we're requiring Hadach. We want to get rid of that Tam, you know, that surface level Tam of Bas Mechal.
It's still only a Mashu.
So I'm asking you, why do we require Hadacha? Again, you can yell and scream Mashu from now till doomsday, but the halacha is that you require Hadacha. I mean, the whole reason why we're telling you not to put it in there to begin with is because you might not do the Hadacha that you're going to require to do after you put it in there. So you can't deny that we're requiring Hadacha. You can yell and scream Mashu, but why do you require Hadacha? So in any event, again, I don't have an answer to that question, but just the facts on the ground is that the Rav is saying you can't put this Darash Yesh Lachluchas in the Kli, even though the Kli is Sonei, because there'll be a plate of a Mashahu, and then you'd be violating the principle of Eim Vatlan Isur L'Chatchila. What you're doing is you're taking a Tam Isur of a Mashahu and putting it into foodstuff, which is heter. And you're going to go ahead and eat this because you're going to say that a mashu, at least for the Eved, doesn't aser it. It's, I think, from the Rav's perspective, by putting this Darash Yesh Lachluchas into the Kedera, you are creating bittul. Why are you creating bittul? Because the Tam or Iser from the Kli, from the Kedera, is going to penetrate into the Darash Yesh Lachluchas. So that the Lachluchas draws out that Tam. And now that Tam is going to be batel in the Basar. When I use the word Basar, I mean Basar Sheshba Lachluchas. So you're actively creating a situation of bittul. I would have said something else, that you're actively creating a situation where the halacha requires hadach. I mean, you could ask me, why does halacha require adok if the assumption is it's only a plea of mashu? So again, rack your brains and come up with an answer. You know, it's a visa nekiyim, it's kadashtem, it's a new level of kedusha. We don't want to eat a mashu. And if you get rid of that mashu in a simple way, just by doing adokha, is that's the way we're going to go. Now we take a step beyond, and we're going to say, don't put yourself into a situation where you're going to require adokha, lest you wouldn't do adokha. That's what I would have said, if not for the Rav. But the way the Rav is saying it, if this transmission is accurate, is that the reason you can't put the basar into this kedera is because you are being mevatel isur l'chatchila. You're basically virtually mixing isur and heter in such a way that you know it'll be butter. So now the Rav quotes Siman Tzadi Tes. What does it say in Siman Tzadi Tes? That in Bitel Isur B'mezid HaTarovas Asura Af B'dievet LaMevatel Ula Mishin Is Batel B'Shvilo. So that even though we have a principle that says Eivavat Lin Isur Lichat Chilo, which implies that B'dievet everything is Mutter, nay, it's not Mutter. Why? Because we don't want you to benefit from this artificial taromas that you created of Isa Veheta. So you had a good cheshbin, you artificially combined Isa Veheta because you wanted to apply the principle of Bittul. Well, Allah doesn't allow you to do that. And B'dieved, if you went ahead and did it, the Allah is going to say that it's asr. To whom is it asr? Number one, to the person who put it together, that's called a mevatel. And number two, if he did it on behalf of someone else, he wants to feed someone else, his ain mevatel and his lechatchila, it's asr even with the evid for the mevatel. So now, when I put down a piece of basal lach onto this kedera that has a blia of basal b'chala, then in effect what I'm doing is I'm taking the isur, putting it into the basar, and applying bittul. So I'm artificially creating a situation of bittul. In fact, the Rav, if that be the case, then even with the evidence, we should find that the Baldover here, so to speak, could not eat the meat. Why? Because he was the one who was mevatel that tam of bas b'cholov lechatchila, which he wasn't allowed to do. So at this point, the Rav presents the following chakira. Why is it, as we saw in Siman Tzadi Tes, that the dieved, if you were mevatel isur lechatchila, you can't eat it? One way of saying it is set a penalty. It's a knas. You know, you're a bad boy, and we're going to say don't benefit from this bittul. The other way of saying it is that no, the rabbanim were afraid that today you'll mix meat and you'll be non-kosher meat with kosher meat in a way that there'll be bittul, but tomorrow, down the line, sometimes you're going to mix the vela with basa shkuta in a way that there is no bittul. You know, calculating shishim could be a very difficult thing. So you're going to say, oh, you know what? There's enough heter, I can look at it, there's enough heter here to be mevatel l'isur. So that means we want to avoid a situation where there will be a nesinas tam of isur. And therefore we impose an isur called ei mevatel l'isur l'chatchila. What's going to be b'dieved? We're going to say, you know what? If we allow him to get away with it in this case, where he was successful in being mevatel l'isur, tomorrow he's going to do the same thing without shishim, where there's no bittul. Therefore, we have to tell him already now, we're not going to allow this thing. You're not allowed to get benefit from your bittul of chatchila. Says of salvation, it's the second way. And then Afkamina is going to be in the case of Bliyas Tzonim, Because Bliyas Ksona, we said, by definition, the maximum that you can get out of this cold Kara is only a Mashu. So you'll never ever be able to create an Isur. You'll never get more than a Mashu. You'll never get a point of Nesina's Tam. Because there is no transfer of Tam. There's something called a Mashu, but through Tzonin, you cannot come up with a Blias Tam. Tam meaning the Tam Ti'ika, where it's more than Shishim, it's 1 to 59. So when do we say that B'di'evan, if you violated Eivavat L'Nisla Chathil, it's also, that's only because in this very scenario, you could come to a situation where it's not Batal, and you would apply Bittal unintentionally. But here, we have a situation where it could never come to the Sinas Tam. It's always going to be Batal. And why? Because the maximum Bliya that you can get out of a Dover Tzonen is only a Mash. Let's just see it inside. He says, Yesh Lomar, the shiny Hocha, shall be Huke Habliya. It's an interesting phrase, Huke Habliya. I Efsha Shiehe Nivla Litocha Ochel El Mashu Bilvadu. Kai Gam Logosu Isur Bidiyevet, Ubiar Dovaru, Sha Isa Levatel Isa Chatfilu Mishum Shalom Lismoch Aladin, She Isa Mishapech Lios Heter Al Yidei Bitul. So again, lechatchila, we're not going to allow you to be mevatel isur and transform isur into heter. That you're not allowed to do. And the Rav says that the same logic of Eimav Halan Isla Chachi is going to apply to Bliyas Tzonen. Why? Because you're taking that Tam, which is, albeit a Mashu, but it's a Tam of Isur, and you're converting it into Heter. Avol, what about the Isur B'di'evet? If he was Mevatel Isla Chachi, lo b'taras Knas. Right, we're not going to say that because you violated this Isur of Ein Mevatlin, therefore we're going to penalize you. Elam Itam Zerahu. It's not a Knas, but a Gzerah. Shema Yavo Ha'odom Lahatir Af Hecha Shalo Yehe Shir Beheta Kedei Levatel Asi. So we're not going to rely on your ability to guarantee that there's enough of a Shir of Bittul. So he says, "Gzeira zulo nemra el b'bliyas yicholo lios yosem mikashir." Abu b'bliyas tzonen, which by definition we can guarantee that there's only a plate of a mashahu. Then it doesn't. Excuse me. It doesn't make any sense to talk about a gzeira that maybe it'll come to Nesina's town. Now he's got two major footnotes here. So I don't know what these footnotes are all about, but let's take a stab at it. See, so quotes Rav Shechter. There's a sugya in Gittin. And that sugya, which has many repercussions in different areas of halacha, but the general theme is about konsu shogeg atumezu. So in the course of that diyun about whether konsu or lo konsu shogeg atumezu, the Gemara brings a proof from a sugya of egoze parach shenoflu v'niftzu b'shogeg. Right, Shogeg Otu Mezi. Al Kochach Tzorach Lomar, Timash Osu Chacham Lenos Mi Bittel Isle Chatkiv Mezin Hainu Vitoris Knas, Ufikl Shavi Yishmakum Lodun, Ibn Kansu Shogeg Otu Mezi Bozeh Olam. Again, I don't know all the details about Egoze Perach. I mean, that's we'd have to look up in Gittin. I suspect it has something to do with Zroim. But whatever the case may be, from the fact that the Gemara wants to differentiate between Shogeg and Mezid, it would seem that we're dealing with Hilchas Knas. That when a person violates an Isur B'Mezid, then we penalize him. Is there a Gemara Gittin here? If we wanted to, okay, let's just go on. Now, he says that the Shulchan Aruch in Tzadi Tes quotes the Rashba Shem Nivla Iser Muat Litoch Kli Im Darko Shel Oso Kli Lishtamish Bo Heter B'Shefa Mutu Lishtamish Bo Lichatchil. So you have a very limited amount of Blias Iser, like a Kazayas' worth of Iser that was Nivla in the Kli. And he doesn't use the Kli. Just one second. Im Ein Darko Shel Oso Kli Lishtamish Bo Heter B'Shefa. There's a word Ella that's missing here. Im Darko Shel Oso Kli Lishtamish, I would say Dafka, maybe Dafka Beheter B'Shefa, or Rak Beheter B'Shefa, is then Mutal Lishtamish Bo Lechatchila. Kevan Sha Iser Hamuot the Efsha Lovely Day Nesinas Tam. Do you understand what he's saying over here? He's saying Lechora the Rashba is saying a very similar svar to what the Rav is saying, that you're allowed to use a Kli that has a Bli of Iser in it if you're going to use that Kli, and that's the way you generally use it, with a Shefa with a very significant volume of heter. Why don't you apply the principle of Ein Mevat L'Nisa L'Chatchila? And the answer is, says the Rashba, because it's the Efshal Lovel Idei Nesinas Tam. And if you can apply the principle of the Efshal Lovel Idei Nesinas Tam, then we're not going to apply the principle of... Yeah, but you know, the Rashba is allowing you to use the Kli L'Chatchila. Maybe that's what he's going to point out in the next line. I don't know. We're not going that far. We're going to say that he wasn't allowed to do what he did because he violated the principle of Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Chatchila. But then we're going to say that since the case of Blias Tzonen, then B'dieved, we're not going to ask it because it can never possibly come to Nesinas Tam. The Rashba seems to have gone a step further, that if it can never come Lidei Nesinas Tam, then even L'Chatchila you would be allowed to be Mavatel L'Isur. El Sharashba Hichriv Lomer Sha'afa Isur L'Chatchila Levatel Dovar Osur B'toch Heter Urak Machmas Hach Gzera D'Shema Yaseh B'Ataroves B'Yofen Shelo Yehei Sham Shir Haroi Levatel Se'isur. So in other words, the logic of the Rav is here in the Rashba that there's no gzera in a case where it's not possible to come to a shear of Nesinas Tam. That's in the Rashba. The only problem is, the Rashba went a step further and says, therefore the whole gzera of Ein Mevat L'Nisa L'Chatchila doesn't apply. He's suspending the application of Ein Mevat L'Nisa L'Chatchila in this case where there's no possibility that a kamli day Nesinas Tam. V'ilu Rabbeinu Bir came, Dafka Begeder Ha'isur B'dieved, L'Amevat L'Mishan Estatel B'Shvilo. So that's this piece, more or less. And then, on the other side of the page, you have something called Tatoi Govar. Have we discussed this yet? This is Sugyim Sochin.
We have discussed it.
We did?
Yeah.
And what do we say about Tatoi Govar?
Well,
We were wondering whether Tatoi Gavra is Bishol or not. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And apparently, the Rav says, this you can derive from both a Ra'ah and from Rashi.
It's not
Bishol. The Ra'ah would say that in the case of Tatoi Gavra, all you need is Kedei Netila. But you don't ask for the entire Taroves. Well, it's not really a Taroves, but you don't prohibit the entire East, the entire Heter. And Rashi is going to say something very similar in the case of what's called Nat Bar Nat. So what you did was you cooked meat in a pot, and then afterwards, when you cleaned out the pot, you cook fish in the pot. Now, can you eat that fish with milkings? So that's called no sin tam bar no sin tam. In other words, the meat gave tam into the walls of the kli. And now the walls of the kli are giving that tam, that's already tam sheni, into the fish, into the dugim. So Rashi Shita is that if he actually cooked meat and fish together, then for sure you can't eat the fish with milchiks. And Rashi goes a step further and he says, even if you're not cooking fish with meat, but you're cooking fish in a meat pot, you can't eat that fish with milchiks. Why? Because Rashi says that once you cook the fish in the pot, it becomes a tam rishon. Even though b'mitzias it's a tam sheni, but it's a tam rishon because the bishul does such a profound job of extracting the tam of the basar. It's almost as if the basar is there cooking together with the fish, the original. So it becomes a tam rishon. So then Rashi asks himself the question, if that be true, when, under what circumstances does the Gemara in Chulin on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph say that according to Shmuel, Dogim Sha'olu Bekara Mutar Li Ochlam Bekutach? That's only the case of Tatoi Gavra. So again, I'm trying to imagine what this Tatoi Gavra looks like. It sounds to me that Tatoi Gavra means that he poured fish into a hot pot, a fleshika pot. Again, it's hard to imagine how this pot got so hot. But you know, in fancy restaurants they have, or maybe not in restaurants, but sometimes you'll see it as simcha, they present the food in a hot plate to keep to retain the heat. So imagine you have the waiter is wearing these white gloves and he's telling you, be careful, don't touch the thing. So in those fancy restaurants, what you can do is you can put the fish into the pot, or he serves you fish in a plate, and the plate is boiling hot. So that would be Tatoi Gavra. And what we're saying is that the Tatoi, which is the Kli, is now heating up the fish. So Rashi says that's called Nat Bar Nat. Why? Because the taste of the meat went into the pot, and then from the pot it goes into the dogim, and everything is heter. So that's considered not bar not. But Rashi apparently is differentiating between Tatoi Gavra and actual bishul, because Rashi holds if you were to cook fish in a fleshika pot, you would not be allowed to eat that fish with milchiks. But he's going to allow you to eat the fish with milchiks when you put the fish down on a very hot pot that was fleshiks. And that's because of Tatoi Gavra. And in that case, he's going to apply the heter of Dogim Shalom Bekara, and he's going to allow you to eat these Dogim with Kutach, with milchiks. Okay then, so we'll stop here.